Hello.
Check. Good.
Does this work? Hello? Hello? Awesome. Okay. I'm just going to borrow this music stand for a while. Is it okay if I come down? Yeah. I mean, it's Canada Day, right? I'd like to be closer. How are you guys? Good? Good. I only saw a handful number of people here this morning, but then after the worship, the praise, a lot of you are here. So good to see that. Okay. Book of Acts. Can we open up to Book of Acts first, and then I'll do a little bit of an intro about myself, and then we'll dive into the text today. Where are we? Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. All right. Let me read it. Here we go. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait here, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen. Amen. My name is Sky. I know I have a funny name, right? Sky, a very unique name. People ask me, why do you name yourself Sky? Did your parents name you Sky? No, my parents did not name me Sky, but I decided to name myself when I went to university because I wanted to be recognized. I wanted my professors to know my name, blah, blah, blah. So I decided to change my name. And that actually is my... of course, it's my second English name. First, my first English name was John. Any Johns here? So, good! Because I thought it was very boring to have a name. Sorry if any John was here. Anyway, that's who I was. I grew up in Vancouver East Side, so I'm like, this area is my hood. You know, my mom still lives in the area. So, like, this church, I knew this building was bought, what church are we? Vancouver Pacific Grace Church bought the building. I know, like, I've seen the building change painting colors and blah, blah, blah. You know, I grew up in the area. So I'm so happy to be here. I live in Port Moody now, right beside my church, Port Moody Pacific Grace. I moved there after started serving in the church since last September. I'm a new pastor there, serving in the English side. I'm loving it. We have about 120 people in our congregation. About 50% are young people. So it's very, very active, very vibrant. People are actively serving, and we have a great parents who are trying to serve the church. And I'm sure it is very similar here in the church here, trying to serve the next generation. That's where my passion is. I want to see our next generation grow in faith and really charge with the Word of God and with the gospel, you know, to the ends of the earth. So I'm going to share a little bit about that today through Book of Acts. And we all want to be, charged, charged in the name of Jesus Christ to go out to the world. I mean, we're really called to be something greater, to go out with a greater purpose than being saved. It's beyond salvation, right? God did not save you for just for your own salvation, but for the restoration of the kingdom. Amen to that? For the restoration of the entire nations, the globe, right? And we're all called for that. Not only for yourself, not only for your family, not only for your friends, but for the entire kingdom of God to be reached. Isn't that amazing? And we are called into that mission. We are to take in a little portion of His mission today, right now, in this moment. And that's so amazing. I have a 2-year-old daughter. She's not with me right now. They're in Korea. I'm Korean, by the way. They're in Korea. So actually, I have a flight booked today at 2:50. So after this, I'm going to go to the airport and I'm going to visit my family. They're in Korea because my daughter is expected to go through a number of surgeries in Japan. It's a very special surgery that cannot be done here in Canada. So we're just waiting for certain dates to be confirmed, and we have a doctor in connection in Japan. My daughter is born with multiple issues. She had a number of surgeries done already. She's only 2 years old, but this one right now has something we couldn't do it in Canada because there's a different method for this surgery. What it is my daughter is born with a floating thumb, if you know the term, floating thumb. So she doesn't have a bone on her left thumb. So she has a little shape of a thumb that's floating. So what we're trying to do is it's not really a transplant, but really kind of moving, you know. Transplant is when you move bones from another person, but like we're trying to get some bone parts from her body to be, you know, transplanted on her thumb. And this can only be done probably in Japan, probably the only place in the world where it could be done. So it is, I'm in that journey of waiting and just seeing how God's going to work through this. And I mean, our family spent some time to really discern, is this something that, you know, God's calling us to do? I mean, if we do it here, what they do in Canada is actually to just cut off that thumb and just make this index finger to a thumb. So you'll be left with 4 digits. And then it was really a time for us to, of course, listen to God, but really to realize how gracious He is through this process, because I mean, God already gave her 9 fingers. Some people don't have anything. Some people have 2, 3, right? But God gave her 9 already. And do we really want an extra for us? It's extra 1 by going through all these processes and money and everything, right? But we really heard from the Lord that, you know, God's leading us towards, you know, seeing how God can do things by the help of people. By prayer, of course. But our church have been part of this fundraising and everything, so they've helped a lot. And we're just going through this process, and God's leading us into it. So this is where I am. That's my context right now. So I'm waiting. Waiting is very tough, if you know that. We're waiting right now because some things in the process of it isn't confirmed. One is a hospital isn't confirmed. Doctor wants to do it. The doctors, they have to be, you know, they have to approve this surgery in his hospital. The fact is, he's done it for like 20, 30 years already, but his hospital's only for, really geared towards adults. So pediatric unit and everything. So all these things has to work out. So we found another hospital, a bigger one, to bring this doctor to go there and then do the surgery. And then they did not approve, blah, blah, blah. So we've been waiting for about 4 or 5 months already. So, and my wife and my daughter is in Korea, just waiting to be called and to, you know, just fly to Japan. So I've been home alone. I lost some weight now. So waiting is tough. Waiting is tough. Waiting is tough. For all of us, waiting is tough. I mean, you know, I realized that as I was preparing for the sermon, we just can't even wait 30 seconds for our microwave when we heat up the milk, right? 30 seconds is too long nowadays. You know, you just have to click. You know, Amazon is like, click. 2-day shipping is taking too long. You know, we got to do 1-day shipping for $3.99. Amazon Prime member, here you go. too slow. Like, we are really filled with a lot of things that are instant, convenient, fast, right? In the midst of that postmodern society that we live in, you know, farming, if you think about farming, it takes a whole year when you want to harvest something. It just doesn't go with it. Like, the paradigm is just not with us. Farming. Who wants to farm nowadays? Sorry if you are a farmer. If you're farming at home, little garden there. But realistically, farming isn't our thing anymore. It's like whole year. Yeah? I mean, if we think about church planting or raising up next generation in the church, this is very similar to farming, and it takes a long time. And the fact is, we don't like it. And we want our leaders to, you know, go to a 3-day conference and then be trained, and you come back, be a deacon, you know. 3-day, 1 week, 1 month. We want results. Have you seen one of those videos out there on the Facebook and stuff where, you know, if you take 30-day trial, you know, your body's going to change. You know, you're going to lose like 30 pounds. You know, to be honest, I don't know if they really work. I never tried because I don't need to lose weight. I need to gain weight. I know I got a little bit here. Oh, whoa. I got a little bit here. But anyway, my point is straightforward. It is very tedious. And one time I went to Los Angeles. Do you know the burger In-N-Out? Do you know who tried In-N-Out? Oh yeah, it's only in California. Yeah, it's amazing, right? It's cheap, $2.99 for a cheeseburger, and then it's pretty good. So one time I went to Los Angeles and I wanted to try it, but I didn't have time. Like, I was there for 2 weeks, but I didn't have time. But then I gotta try it. But my flight is in about an hour and a half. I have to return my rental vehicle. Right, I was driving to the airport, and then I saw In-N-Out. I went in, drive-through. For some reason, it took me like 10 minutes in the lineup, and then another 10 minutes to wait for the burger. And then I finally got it. I didn't have time to eat it, right? And then I went straight to airport. Excuse me. Straight to airport, and then I realized that I didn't gas up the car. So I went out again, gas up. It took me another 10 minutes. Okay, finally, I got to airport, returned the vehicle. I paid the extra fee for the vehicle, you know, delayed return. And then finally got into the airport. I missed the flight because of this burger. And then there I was sitting, having my burger in the airport, waiting for my next flight in like 3-4 hours. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? It can really be described into one word: passion. I had this passion for this burger, believe it or not. I wanted to try. Passion. The other day, I was just going down Grandview here from my mom's house to home. And then I was very hungry. I didn't have anything that day. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should, you know, take out and make McDonald's. So then I went. Oh, it was that day. McDonald's was 67 years or, sorry, not 67 years old, but 30 years, was it? 67 cents, yeah, that day. For some reason, I thought I'm going to go to McDonald's, and I looked at that sign, and then the cars on Renfrew there, like, packed. I'm not passionate for McDonald's. I'm just going to go at A&W, right? So that's the difference of the passion you have for something, right? If you imagine Boxing Day, you're waiting in line for a couple hours to get in, and you just want to get a plasma TV. No, we don't watch plasma anymore. LED, whatever, right? You just have passion to get something cheap. But there are types of people who just wait, who can wait without passion. For example, if you're waiting through to get your school to be finished, just, you know, let my 4 years of university, I just want a degree, you know. Like, I'm not passionate about this, but I just want some degree, so I'm just waiting. But there are people like that who can wait through things without passion, okay? But my point here today in my sermon is that we got to have passion for your wait time, for your wait time. Okay? Wait through this time. What kind of wait time are we going through? Are we waiting for something today? Yeah, actually, the Bible we just read here says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." It's like this. The way you see me right now, in my suit, with all this mic and everything, my hair, the way you see me, the way I was taken up to heaven, well, I'm not going to be taken up to heaven, but, you know, the way I'm taken up to heaven, I'm going to come back the same way before you. And then these people who just hear the statement here, thinking, if we see in the next chapters, we see the demonstration of how they really wait through this time. They went to the upper room and prayed, right? I'm going to explain a little bit more about that later, but we are waiting through something right now, today. The word passion comes from the Latin root pati, meaning suffering or enduring. Thus, compassion means to suffer with. So when you have compassion for someone, it means to suffer with somebody. This word first used in the 10th century, derived from the death of Jesus Christ. So it actually is from the passion, you know, the movie Passion of Christ, like that word passion signifies the death on the cross of Jesus Christ. So Christ's suffering is foundationally about passionate love for the world and for us, right? God was so passionate about people, about his creation. So in fact, when he created Adam and Eve and they failed, right? I'm sure God, he could have just wipe out everything and then do the whole creation over again. Just make another planet or something. But he didn't do that because he had passion for the people whom he created in his own image and his likeness. It's like if you make a little a face of yourself with a Play-Doh and it's representing yourself, and then one day you're walking outside and then you dropped it on the ground. It's dirty. Will you fix it or will you just throw it? Oh, it's a little sand, like dirty. I'm going to throw it away. Would you do that? It's like this. If you drop your iPhone 6S in your toilet, would you pick it up? I would. I just bought it like last week. And if I drop it today in the toilet, I'll pick it up. Because the existence of my iPhone is more important than the outer cover, what's on it. Like, even if it fell into... Okay, I'm not going to describe it. I'm still going to pick it up and try to fix it, because it's mine, and God created us in his image, right? In his likeness. Restoration. He's totally into this. He's so passionate about us and the restoration of the world. The cross, in fact, over here right now, it's existing because of us, right? Well, people think that cross is before us. Yes, that's right. Jesus is so important in his death and resurrection. Of course, it's very, very important in Christianity and what we believe in. But all of these, like, all these things that we learn and we talk about and confess exist because of us. I'm not saying that this is like an individualism or a consumerism idea where, you know, it's all about me, you know, God is there for me, you know. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying God has so much passion for you in such a way that he gave his son and the cross for us. And he gave us the church to experience that in his community, right? And we are sitting right here in this in the pew here together, waiting through this time Should we wait with passion? God intended to have the forever long and perfect relationship with his created beings, which failed. The passion, actually, it seems to be describing kind of an image where it's a longer, more of an enduring, patient kind of love rather than a spark of love. It's a longer, I guess, more of a patience, persistence. It's like, it's almost like a marathon. I guess it's almost like a, I have a lack of a better explanation, maybe a pregnancy. You're just waiting through that 40 weeks. Remember that time. In the text today, Jesus clearly told the disciples to wait here in Jerusalem. It says verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. When Jesus said it, said this, disciples didn't get it. So they're responding to Jesus by saying that, is this a time where you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time where you're going to come and restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus actually responds to them in this way. It says in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Let me say this again. It is not your job to know when that restoration is going to happen. Who cares? Never mind. That's not the point that I'm trying to make here right now. That's what Jesus is saying. Disciples asked, is this a time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because Jews, they were all about the kingdom of Israel being restored. You know, they were everywhere. You know, they were in war all the time, you know, slavery, everything. You know, they went through this time. They were all about the restoration of the kingdom, their kingdom, their nation, Israel. Right? So their focus was right on it. And Jesus is saying, that's not the point. The time isn't an issue here. Jesus emphasizes right now something about waiting. Something about waiting. He says waiting for to receive the power and the Holy Spirit. And so that you will go from Jerusalem in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus told the disciples to wait here, they didn't get it, of course, I said. Jesus emphasized to wait with uncertainty. And we want certainty. Lord, I want certainty. Is this the time? Is this the place? Is this the right school? Is this my career? Is this my spouse? Is this my girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever? We want certainty all the time, but God is actually telling us to wait with uncertainty at many times in our lives. Why would he do that? Wait with uncertainty. I believe that this is the very foundational skills. Of course, we lack this all the time. We want certainty, right? That's who we are. But this is a very foundational skill for something that's going to happen in the book of Acts. Second point, before I explain a little bit more, the other point that disciples didn't get is this. Did not understand a promise. They didn't have a clue about the promise that Jesus is trying to make. Jesus is talking about the whole promise the Holy Spirit will empower you to go from Israel to all Judea to the ends of the earth, right? They only think about their own little frame. They have their own little limited capacity here. Restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They don't have a picture of the entire globe turning to God, right? They don't have the picture of all tongues and nations coming before the Lord, right? So they are limited. But when God's trying to stretch, you know, did you know that he's trying to stretch us every day, expand you, have a bigger capacity in your life so that you can be finally used for his kingdom. He's stretching us. I pray right now that God will stretch all of you in this room. Yeah, amen to that? God is working towards that all the time. And the thing is, we got to understand that he's working for us right now to stretch. And what do? We got to go and be stretched. These guys here didn't understand. Is this the time we're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Hey, Pastor Sky, is this sermon that you're preaching today, is that going to help my life? In what way? In what kind of way? No. I think I'm preaching. Well, personally, I'm preaching so that our church together can go towards the end of the earth, right? It's much bigger. The capacity. Stretch the capacity. Let him stretch the capacity for you. But here's the thing. My title, I don't know if we have a title. Oh, we have. Oh, good. Okay, thank you. My title today is Waiting Room. Waiting Room. Have you been in a waiting room? Just wait. I know my daughter's name is Naomi. Naomi did a heart surgery when she was born. In her third month. Heart surgery. And then I remember this waiting room when we were just waiting through this 7-8 hours of surgery. We couldn't leave. We didn't eat. Yeah, for sure. We relied on God. Yes, but to be honest, it's so hard to wait in that room. You know, there's this feeling of uncertainty where is when is it gonna be done? Like, you know, we see, oh, nurses, if the nurse goes by, oh, is that our nurse? You know, should we talk to the person? Kind of know what's going on. But while you're in the waiting room, you actually don't know what's happening outside. You actually have no clue. You're uncertain with so many things in your life. But I think waiting room is where you're going to be stretched, where God's going to stretch you in that room. All Christians must go into this room. We all have to go in order for something greater. I'm not talking about leveling up. You know, you're not, you know, going up to a different stage to fulfill something. That's not my point. But while you're in the waiting room, it's time of suffering, yes. It's time to endure, time to learn patience. Mature, grow, right? It's dark. It's long tunnel. And there, it's not just one tunnel sometimes. It's there one after the other, right? But you grow in that room to continuously understand the promise that God has made for you to go from Israel to the ends of the earth. We are living in that time frame until Jesus returns. The kingdom thinking is about transitioning from a self-focused to the thoughts of God. So transitioning from our own focus to the focus of God, to his perspective, right? Before you enter into this room, probably you were very focused on yourself, your career, your family, perhaps your anything about yourself, right? But as you wait longer in that room, you start to realize that that's not all about our life. You suffer through things, and then you realize that, I got to shift my thoughts towards God. And then you have this tremendous joy that no one can provide for you but God. Right? The fact is, he will shift those who are in the waiting room, actually. He, the active agent, is on him. He will shift those who are in that waiting room. It's about what God wants to do with your life rather than what we want to do for God. It's about what God wants to do with your family, with your relationship, and with your church. The book of Acts is all about the moving of the Holy Spirit. We might think that book of Acts is about the people the apostles, but it's really the protagonist here is Holy Spirit working with people, right? If you think about it this way, we're just in the beginning of this book, right? And then the lines that we read today, the verses here, is very significant because the apostles had to go through this time of waiting so that there was a transition in their thoughts where it wasn't their own self-focused life, but kingdom-centered focus in their life so that they could go out to the world. We got to get into that waiting room, right? Our own volitions must be crushed in that room so that God can use. I believe that this is actually talking about characters of Christian. We hate waiting, yet Jesus tells us to wait. Characters must be reshaped before entering into the day of the Pentecost. Well, the day of the Pentecost is already here, but for us, what it means, what it could be to us is that where the Holy Spirit is active in your life, you know. Holy Spirit is already among us, is within us, and is here, but allow Him to be in your heart, placed in a right center place so that He can be powerful in your life, so that He can be active in your life. Would you go through that time of suffering with me in that waiting room? When Jesus invites you to that waiting room in your life, disciples here, we know that in the next verses, they joined in prayer. They went up to the upper room and prayed. They all joined together constantly in prayer in verse 14. They had passion to see Jesus the way He was taken up, right? They had passion to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that the promise is fulfilled. And they had passion to go to the ends of the earth. But before anything else, Jesus challenges us today to wait here in your room, in Jerusalem first, so that you can go. But then the whole purpose is so that you can go. I think I ran out of time, but I was going to mention a little bit about subscription. I'm going to make it really quick. We are, our generation, what do we call ourselves? The millennials? Or the next one is, I don't know what's called, but anyway, I'm young, as you can see. Thank you. I'm younger, sorry, younger in a way, I think. I try to be. I try to learn things so that I can be younger. But I started to see in our young generation that we love subscription plans. Subscribing to Netflix, Apple Music, subscription to everything. You know, you pay like $10 and you get access to 30,000 movies, but the fact is you don't own any movie, right? You may have access to a million copies of music on Apple Music, but you don't own any music. But you just enjoy that subscription with $10 you give. Then I started to realize that it's very similar to maybe a three-year contract or a Good Life Fitness plan or even like one of those... like one of those. But I was going to say leasing, like leasing a vehicle or renting a house. It's very similar to that. You know, when you rent a house, you don't really have that burden to change the roof or plumbing issue. You just tell the owner, right? And then our young people, I started to realize that we don't want to take on our responsibility on us by by doing things that aren't needed. Like, we don't want to, you know, see what's happening in the backstage, especially in the church. You know, let our parents do the church cleaning, but we don't want to clean the church because we're just renting. You know what I mean? Like, we're subscribing to the church, but our parents' generation, they didn't subscribe to the church. They own the church. You know what I mean? They had this stewardship that we got to learn. But what I started to realize is a subscription, of course, as I mentioned, it sounds like we're not owning anything. But the fact is, for our generation, we own by subscription. Did you know that? It's almost like that. You know, I'm just trying to make a little point here. Subscription may seem to be very uncommitted way to do things. Like, for example, movies. If you are passionate about movie, you gotta buy DVDs. You know, you gotta go to the movie theater, right? But Netflix may not be your choice because you're not owning anything. That's kind of the traditional view. But actually, subscription still is a way for our generation to own things. That's how we express our passion. You know what I mean? I know I'm going over time a little bit here. But what I'm trying to mention here right now, you know, I said we're going to go out to the world and, you know, evangelize and let the word to be out there and everything. But the way we do it, the tool that we use may seem not so traditional in a way. Like, we don't look like that we have passion for these things, but you know what? We're so passionate about it. You know what I'm saying? We may seem like we're not passionate for these things, for the gospel, but we are actually very passionate about it. But it's a little bit different. So it's important for our parents' generation to find that little thing in there. I'm trying to work on it too as a pastor. But there is something to this generation. They are for sure passionate, but there's got to be something in between. There has to be some tool for this passion to be understood between the generations and to work together as a church to let that passion to go out to be used for His kingdom, right? That's probably my last word here. Let's pray. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You.